8:30, exactly.
Good, very good. 8:30 is a good time to start, is it not? Okay, we're on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Well, not exactly on the bottom, I should say, but we are on Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. And somehow these pages get... All right. Thanks. All right, what do we know? We spoke yesterday about the concept of Madora. We had a suffix, which was a gigantic controversy. What happens to Reuven? He was the first one to light, and it's only Shimon who lit subsequently and made it into a Madoro. At least Reuven could be salvaged. It's no worse than Kavsa Ein Zakakla. And that led us to the Gemara of Amar Rava. Now,
the nair that we had, you said it was covered. Right, they put a cover on it and the wicks came out.
I'm not sure the case of Madora, we said there are two choices. You could obviate the problem of Madora either by putting a cover over it, then there's no Madora, because each wick is separate, or we said if there's a separation of an etzba, that might be...
Okay, so that was... Yeah. It doesn't have to have a cover.
No, it has
so
to have a cover.
So we're up to Amar Rava. Amar Rava Pshita. The avid is about, I'd say, shall we say, 10 lines, 12 lines down from the top. And the first words in the line on Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Amar Rava Pshitali. Now, whenever you see an Amora who opens up with the words Pshitali, then you know what's coming around the bend.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's going to tell you what's Pshitali and what's not Pshitali. In other words, first he clears the path from any stones that you might trip on and make sure that you have the record straight and there's no issue whatsoever. Now, when is there no issue? That's the case of Ner Beso v'Ner Chanukah. So the case is the following. The man has only one Ner, or perhaps he has only the funds to purchase one Ner. And if he doesn't have enough money to buy oil for two Neros, and it's the Leil Shabbos of Chanukah, what should he do? He has two options. He could either dedicate this Ner for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, or alternatively, for the mitzvah of what's called Ner Beso, otherwise known as Ner Shabbos.
What is the rest?
Let's assume for the time being that both are Derabbanan, so we don't have that issue. And let's assume that apparently one Ner could not function in two capacities. In other words, he cannot designate this Ner as both... as both a as both a Ner Chanukah and a Ner Shabbos. It's either or. So there's a long discussion here about the very underlying premise here of Rava. How does Rava know, and why does Rava assume that this Ner cannot function in two capacities? And you can fulfill both the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos and the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with one Ner. Why is that an impossibility in the mindset of Rava? And therefore Rava has to play what I call triage, and he has to decide, should he designate this Ner, that he only has one Ner, for Ner Shabbos or for Ner Chanukah? And why is it an either or situation? So here we have the Rashba. The Rashba says the following, that the Shita of Rav, not Rava necessarily, but Rav, back on Daf Kaf Aleph Amid Beis, is that also lishtamesh liora shel Ner Chanukah, that we're not allowed to benefit from the candle of the Ner Chanukah. And now the Rashba wants to make a jump, and he wants to assume that not only does Rav, back on Kaf Aleph Amid Beis, maintain that you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, but even Rava here on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis would maintain the same position, and that is that you're not allowed to get any benefit from a Ner Chanukah. Says the Rashba, how do I know, how can I prove to you that Rava holds that you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah? Because otherwise, if you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah,
they can do both.
Exactly. Why not accomplish both with one Ner? He can set up the Ner. Again, in the original mitzvah, as we've discussed many times, you put the Ner outside your house. But Mishasa Sakana Ve'eluch, the Gemara says, you can put the Ner inside your house. Meniach al Shulchano V'dayo. So if you're allowed, then you can fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah by placing the Ner on your table, and you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. The halacha doesn't enjoin you from benefiting from the Ner Chanukah. Let that Ner Chanukah serve the double function, the additional function of being a Ner Shabbos. It illuminates your table for the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. It must be, therefore, says the Rashba, that Rav is of the opinion that Osel is Tamish Liora, and therefore these two mitzvot are antithetical one to the other. They're mutually exclusive. You cannot have both a Ner for your benefit, which is a Ner Shabbos, which is designated exclusively for your benefit, and at the same time call it a Ner Chanukah because you're not allowed to benefit from it. It can't be both at the same time. Therefore, it must be that Rava holds like Rav that Osel is Tamish Liora Shel Ner Chanukah. That's the Chiddush here of the Rashba. Others disagree with the Rashba. And they maintain, no, according to Rav, Mutal is Tamish Liora. But the reason why you cannot use one candle for both mitzvahs is simply because of the requirement of Hekera, which means that it has to be crystal clear in the minds of the spectator that you're designating this as an Er Mitzvah for the Pirsum Manes of an Er Chanukah. And therefore, if you're going to give this Ner another category, it's, you're going to call it a Ner Shabbos, then it doesn't become Nikar that it's a Ner Chanukah. The counter argument to that is a statement of Rava that you have to add another candle. Rava said, if you recall, back on the Chav Beis Amud Beis, here's where we're tying in all the sugyas of Chanukah that we learned, that Tzarech Ner Acheres, you need an extra Ner. And Rashi says the reason for the extra Ner is that when you benefit from the Ner, which again, according to Rava, could be that you're allowed to, the onlooker will know that you didn't light this candle for the purpose of benefiting from the Ner, because you already lit a candle. You know, again, they're very stingy on oil, so the one candle apparently would have been sufficient. Why did he add a second candle? So after he lit the first candle, the onlooker knows that he's already set up the illumination that he needs for his house. And then the spectator will realize that when he lights a second candle, that candle must be for the sake of Ner Chanukah. However, in this case of Rava, where he has one Ner on the Leil Shabbos of Chanukah, it could very well be that there's no other Ner, right? Because it seems like he only has the money for one Ner. And that being the case, there's no Shamash. So if there's no Shamash, we're back to square one. How do we know that he's lighting this Ner for the sake of Ner Chanukah? So you could say that if the Ner is not being used for any other purposes, then he lit it for Ner Chanukah. But if you're using it as a Ner Shabbos, then obviously he's benefiting from the Ner, because the whole purpose of Ner Shabbos is to benefit from the Ner. So once again, we're lacking in Hekera. So there are two ways of understanding the underlying premise of Rav. Why does Rav assume that it's an either-or situation and you cannot have an overlap of both the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos on one candle? So one approach is the Rashba's approach. And he's going to say that Rav holds also l'shtamish li'ora. So also l'shtamish li'ora, then you're not going to have any benefit from the Ner Shabbos here, because it's a Ner Chanukah at the same time. The other approach is to say that we need a Hekera, and Hekera means that we have to designate this Ner as a Ner of Chanukah for the sake of Pirsum Hanes. Once we have another designation, at the same time we're calling it a Ner Shabbos, we basically undermine the designation of the Ner as a Ner Chanukah. Here I want to share with you another insight that I find here in the Yalkut HaBiurim. He says the following: Mashma b'pashtus, it would seem from the Gemara of Rava that the issue here of which candle he should light, whether he should use this candle for a Ner Mitzvah of Chanukah or for a Ner Shabbos, is something that applies on Friday evening of Chanukah. What about the rest of Chanukah? What would be on the rest of Chanukah, the balance of Chanukah? It's not Shabbos, it's Chol, and he has no mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, but he only has one Ner. What should he do with that Ner? Should he designate it as what's called Shalom Beso or Ner Beso? I'll explain in just a minute what I mean. Or should he designate it for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Now, if there's no mitzvah of Ner Beso, then you and I would have said, then for sure, he should designate it as what? As an Ner Chanukah. But it's not at all clear. Why? Because Rava says that in this case where he only has enough money for one Ner Beso Adif, he should designate it as a ner beso. He should forfeit the mitzvah of what? Of Chanukah. Mishum shalom beso. Rashi explains what's shalom beso. Shalom beso means that if people live in the dark, it's a great tsar, and it's not the normal way you'd want to live. We don't want you to sit in choshech. That's called shalom beso. So the Ritva points out, if that be the case, then although there's no formal mitzvah of lighting a candle during the week for shalom beso every evening, and we're not going to make a brach on that, but nevertheless, if the achievement is to avoid the tsar of living in the darkness, then that should apply even during the week. And once again, we should be giving preferential treatment to the ner of beso, the ner of shalom bayis, even during the week. And in that case, he should forfeit the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. So it's an unbelievable chiddush of the Ritva. Just to review, the Ritva is saying that I don't understand why Rav had to mention this case of ner beso, of Shabbos, and focus our attention on this conflict and this tug of war between ner Chanukah and Shabbos candles. The same issue should apply the whole week long, and the Ritva wants to say that ner chinami, it will apply the whole week long.
I can see. I mean, Rashi clearly says it's Shabbos, and I can see that this is talk. Rashi says it's mistire, personal mistire. During Shabbos, you can't expect people to be mistire for a mitzvah because you have Shabbos. But during the week, all right. So we'll do a household might be decide to be mistire a little bit and a little stress to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah.
I was hoping for a more lumpish answer, but maybe you're right. You know, maybe only when there's a mitzvah do we override the Chanukah. But the Ritva is, honestly, I think he's right in his logic, because if the Gemara is saying Shalom Beso, then Shalom Beso applies the whole week long. You know, Shalom Bayis is not just the mitzvah on Shabbos. You know, we formalize it because of Oneg Shabbos and Kovet Shabbos, and we require bracha on their Shabbos, but the truth is that during
the week you could make a fire. Did some other.
I was hoping for a more geschmack answer, something more profound.
All right.
Okay.
The question perhaps is:
that's the wrong
which mitzvah is stronger, Shalom Bayis or Ner Chanukah?
What do you say?
Which mitzvah is stronger, Shalom
Bayis? Yeah. So Rava says pshitoli. I have no doubt that Shalom Beso is a greater mitzvah than Ner Chanukah.
Yeah, but in the Gemara he's talking Shabbos.
Well, he doesn't say Shabbos.
Well, it doesn't say Shabbos beferish, but yes, the assumption is we're talking about Shabbos. The Ritva wants extended to apply all week long, because Shalom Bayis is not a Shabbos halacha. Shalom Bayis is the way that the Rabbanu Shalom expects us to live the whole week long. Now, add to the Rashba that we're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. So if you're going to use this Ner, and you're living in pitch darkness, you know, just for the sake of a Ner Chanukah, then you might have to run out of the room. You know, because you don't want to get any benefit for the Ner Chanukah. So you end up in a different room, which is in total darkness, you know, and that's going to undermine your Shalom Bayis. So I'll just read to you the Ritva. The Ritva writes, he says, Hare b'chol laila shayach hatam, you can apply the logic of Shalom Beso, v'lorak v'leil Shabbos. And therefore, the Ritva seems to assume that the MS b'chol laila hadin kenu shil yesh lo rak ner echad yadli kenu bebeso lahayir v'lo yadli kenu l'ner chanuk.
So then he never, the subject of this conversation here never gets the fulfillment of Chanukah.
Well, no, let's assume that in most cases, he's a wealthy guy. He's so wealthy that he can afford two candles. That's how wealthy he is. And in such a case, he'll light two candles, one for Shalom Baiso and one for Ner Chanukah. But if you're talking about a poor person who can only afford one candle, then Eino Chinami, according to the Dva, let's say he has enough money in his bank account for one candle per night, for the 8 days of Chanukah, and for that matter, for the whole year round. So obviously, he's going to use that one candle for Shalom Beso. But in the case of Chanukah, are you telling me, therefore, since he has only one candle, he's got to forfeit the mitzvah of Chanukah?
Of course.
So that's what comes out according to the Ritva, that for the sake of Shalom Beso, he forfeits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah the whole 8 days, if that's all he can afford is one candle. We'll take up a collection for him, but in the meantime, you know, he only has one. He only has one kin.
Unless his family votes, he said that they would rather have that as a Ner Chanukah. I mean, what if...
I hear what you're saying. So Phil is offering the following suggestion. Maybe it depends upon the will of the members of the family. We're going to have a democratic vote here. Is it one vote per person? Yeah. What about Cotton Shigil Akhina? Does he get a vote?
Well, you're calling it Shalom Beito, so...
What if there's one person in the family of 20 that says, I object, I need light, you know, I can't run away from the Ner Chanukah, I can't live in darkness, in total darkness. You remember that one of the makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Mitzrayim was what?
Choshech.
Makas Choshech. You know, Choshech is not a good thing. You know, some people love the dark, but it's very hard to function in the dark. Again, if your dining room is near the moon, you know, it's outside, you've got a window, maybe get some moonlight, you know. Menachem?
Yeah, but we have a principle, Aseh Shabbatcha Chol V'al Tistakek Labriot. So if he needs to make up a collection, so he only has money for one, so you should do Hanukkah candles, because if you should rather sit in the dark than to go around and collect.
I don't know if Aseh Shabbatcha Chol means he has to sit in the dark. You know, Aseh Shabbat Chol means he won't eat chicken for dinner. You know, he'll have to eat potatoes. But to live in the dark, I wouldn't. And especially during the week, you know, forget about Shabbos. Even during the week, if you have to take up a collection because you're living in the dark, that's what you should do. And by the way, that could apply even to a wealthy person. If a wealthy person finds himself on a trip and he has no access to his bank account, and he lost his wallet, or whatever have you, you know, he needs the mitzvah of Haknasas Orchim, and Stocker could apply even vis-a-vis a wealthy person, just to give him a square meal if he doesn't have access to food. He could be the wealthiest guy on earth, but we're all human beings. Even the wealthiest people are still mortal flesh and blood.
Isn't the absence of Ner Chanukah also mitzvah?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I never thought of that. So now he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says the following: Ner Beso Odif al Ner Chanukah. What does that mean? So far, we know it means before the Ramban that if he only has enough funds for one of the two, he'll use the funds for Ner Shah. Says the Ramban, it means something more than that. In addition, it means that the Ner Shabbos comes first sequentially. In other words, the Chashivus of Ner Shabbos in this context is not just in an either-or situation. We have to forfeit the bits of Ner Chanukah because of the Chashivus of Ner Shabbos. And Ner Shabbos trumps Chanukah. But it also impacts on the laws of Kedima. Kedima means that when you have two mitzvahs to fulfill, and you fulfill them in sequence, then you should give kedima to the more chashuv mitzvah. And the Ramban says the very fact that according to Rava, you have to give up the mitzvah of Chanukah for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, in that case, it means that Ner Shabbos has more chashivos. So then the Ramban quotes another Rishon, the Bahag, and the Bahag says that no, he should light Ner Chanukah first. Why? Sheim yakdim lahadlik near Shabbos, kvar kibel all of us a Shabbos. B'shuv osolo lahadlik near Chanukah. And the Ramban rejects this with all tokef, and he brings many caches on the Bahag to prove that you can light near Shabbos without being makabel Shabbos. So this, my friends, really brings us into another sugya, which is a sugya later on at Daf Chaf Hey. It's not so much our sugya now; it only overlaps with our sugya. In fact, because if you assume that you can light Ner Shabbos without Kabbalah Shabbos, and certainly that would be the case for someone who has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's obvious that he doesn't want his Hadlokas Ner Shabbos to be to generate a Kabbalah Shabbos. In such a case, the Ramban says you should be lighting your Ner Shabbos first. And it's very interesting to me that there's a din kedima in sequence. I thought the din of kedima is in an either-or situation. Where do we find a precedent for the Ramban that chashivus generates a din kedima in sequence? So we have such a thing in a sugyan kachim called tadir v'sheina tadir kodem, which means that tadirus gives a certain chashivus, and therefore it's kodem. Kodem means in sequence. you know, the question whether you have to bring, you know, the carbon tarbid first, the carbon musaf first on a yantif and so on a Shabbos. And all this has to do with kedima bizman, and the chashivas of tadir means that therefore gets kedima bizman. So for example, we find in the case of Achnasas Orchim versus, let's say, Limud Torah or Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, you know, that at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, you know, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Avram Avinu is sitting Kechom Hayom, and who comes to visit him? So Chazal say, Vayera Lov Hashem, that's the opening pasuk in the Parsha, means that Hashem came to visit Avram Avinu. So Avraham Avinu now becomes the host, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is the guest. And that's a great mitzvah of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Now three guys pass by, and Avraham Avinu decides to be Makabali Orchid. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to one pshat at least, you know, wait around for me and I'll be right back. I just have to tend to this mitzvah. So it turns out that Avraham Avinu gave kedima to the mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim over the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And the Pella is that he already was involved in the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Once you've already picked up a mitzvah, then there's no din of kedima for another mitzvah, even if that second mitzvah is greater than the first mitzvah. That's called
Osei mitzvah.
So it's not clear to us why exactly Avraham Avinu paskind over here. And this whole parasha says the Chofetz Chaim is meant to teach us the laws of Achnasas Orchim. It's not just a story about Avraham Avinu. It sets a precedent. But why Avraham Avinu paskin that he could drop the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina and give kedima to the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim?
You said that's the Rambam or the Ramban?
The last piece was the Ramban with a nun at the end. And he quotes the Baha'i, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who says, no, you have to light Ner Chanukah first because you're in a bind. If you light Ner Shabbos first, it's already a Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay then? Mm-hmm. Alright. Now, according to Rava, I have another case that's Pshita. What happens if a man only has enough money for either Ner Shabbos or for a cup of wine for Kiddush? And once again, Ner Beso V'Kiddush Hayom, Ner Beso Adif Mishum Shalom Beso. There's no doubt in my mind, says Rava, that he should dedicate his funds for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, even at the expense of forfeiting the mitzvah of Kiddush Al Yayin. So here, we want to study a sugya Masechet Psachim. The sugya Masechet Psachim says that you don't have to be Makadish Al Yayin. Although there's a difus, there's a certain mitzvah in a muvchar, shall we say, a certain embellishment to the mitzvah of Kiddush if you make Kiddush Al Yayin. But that's not absolutely critical. When the Torah commands us, Zochres Yom HaShavos L'Kadsho, it doesn't have to be Yayin. For example, he could make Kiddush Al HaPas. And if he doesn't make Kiddush Al HaPas, he could be Yotzei Kiddush, at least on one level, by reciting Kiddush in Tefillah. You know, Kiddush is also integrated into our Tefillah's Arvis on Leil Shabbos. So he says the following. You might ask, how could, and this Jerry comes back to your point from before, how can Rava give preference to a Ner Beso, the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, over and beyond the mitzvah of Kiddush, when Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa? So the answer is, the Gemara Pesachim, that as far as Kiddush d'oraisa is concerned, it can fill that mitzvah without what? Without Yayin. And therefore, since Hadlokas Ner Shabbos is Drabbanon, Kiddush Al Yayin is Drabbanon, now both of these mitzvahs are on the same level. And again, Yayin is very much a mitzvah in a muvchar, but it's not critical. And therefore, certainly Ner Shabbos should take preference. Says the Rashba, Afilum Ein Lo Pas. Even if he needs that money to buy a loaf of bread, so he doesn't have neither wine nor bread. And now the question is whether or not he should use that money for buying pas, or he should use it for a Ner Shabbos. Says the Rashba, and again a lot of the Rishonim disagree with the Rashba on this, he says in such a case, yikne pas. He's obligated to use that money and earmark it for buying bread so that he can make Kiddush, because that's the mitzvah Kiddush, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now how can the Rashba say that the mitzvah d'oraisa requires pas? So it seems to me, again, I'm not 100% sure about this, that what he means is the mitzvah of Seuda Shabbos. Now, is the mitzvah of Seuda Shabbos d'oraisa? That's complicated. The mitzvah of Seuda Shabbos is what's called the mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. Because Yeshayahu HaNavi already tells us that we have to be machabed the Shabbos, and we have to be misaneg the Shabbos, and that oneg Shabbos is fulfilled through Seudas Shabbos. So Seudas Shabbos now becomes a very important mitzvah. So from the perspective of the Rashba, Seudas Shabbos and Kiddush has to be connected to a Seuda, upgrades Kiddush above and beyond the level of Ner Shabbos. So in other words, according to the Rashba, the only time that Rava was pshitale, he understood without a doubt that ner beso odif, mishum shalom beso, that's only if he could fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush d'oraisa. So let's say, for example, he has a pass, and he'll make Kiddush al pass. He wants to use whatever remaining funds he has to either buy yayin for Kiddush, which is a mitzvah bin amuvchar, or to buy a ner Shabbos. He should buy a ner Shabbos. Why? Because he's already covered his bases as far as the mitzvah of Kiddush b'makom Suda and the fulfillment of owning Shabbos through a Suda Shabbos. However, if he hasn't got enough money even for a pas, so he has no pas and no yayin, he has no way that he can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, says the Rashba, then Kiddush becomes a mitzvah d'oraisa and it trumps the mitzvah of ner Shabbos. And this is a pella because the Torah nowhere says that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush d'oraisa if you make Kiddush ala pas or ala yayin. What does the Rashba mean that that's Kiddush al Torah? So it seems to me that what the Rashba may have in mind is that since the mitzvah of Kiddush itself is d'oraisa, and the Rabbanan told us exactly how to fulfill that mitzvah of Kiddush, they instituted requirements of makom suda, and whether it's pas or whether it's yayin, you have all those choices. But there are certain rules and regulations. So the Rabbanan now are reformulating the mitzvah shel Torah. Where do we find that the Rabbanan have the ability and the authority to reformulate and restrict and define the conditions for a mitzvah shel Torah? We find it in many different areas. For example, the Torah says avelus. The Torah doesn't tell you how to fulfill avelus. The Rabbanan will tell you how to fulfill avelus. Or, for example, the Torah says v'somachta b'chagecha. The Torah doesn't tell you how to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. The Torah says v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. How do I fulfill the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha? The Rabbanan will tell you exactly how to do that. So, in many cases, or take for example in Yom Kippur, the Torah says v'nisem esnaf shel seichem. So does that mean that I have to stick pins in my arm on Yom Kippur in order to suffer the inui? Does it mean that if I'm sitting in the shade, I have to go out and sit in the sun? So the answer is no. The Rabbanan are going to define exactly what constitutes the fulfillment of v'nisem esnaf shel seichem. Here too, the Torah says zocher es yom haShabbos l'kadsho, but the Torah doesn't tell you exactly how I should be zocher es haShabbos l'kadsho.
Even in the oral law?
And the oral law, that's what I call it, the Rabbanan, they come along. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't use the word oral law. I kept saying Durabbanan, but you're right, I shouldn't have said Durabbanan, I should have said the oral law.
I excuse my ignorance, but I thought the oral law is considered the Torah, just like the written law, and the Rebbeim are the ones who put the fences around it, or
Am I wrong? Yeah, in most cases you're right, but there are many cases where the Torah is particularly vague and ambiguous, and the Torah says that the Rabbanan will tell me exactly how to fulfill
that. Yes, I know. We studied that the other day, but what you just did, you just confused me between what's the oral law and what's rabbinic law. To me, the oral law, the way I understood it, is it's equal to the written law. Without the oral law, that's the Sumerian problem.
But sometimes the rabbinic law has the same status as the oral law. And that's a very rare kind of experience. V'nisem esnaf shel seichem, the Rabbanan are going to tell you how. The Torah says, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, the Rabbanan are going to tell you how. So, for example, you want to visit the sick. And the Torah says, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Well, I love him, I want to visit him. Oh no, the Rabbanan are going to tell you exactly when you're allowed to visit him, how to visit him, how to spend time you spent him. The Torah says to console the bereaved, right? That's also v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Oh, yeah. And the Rabbanan are going to come along and tell you how to console the bereaved, and when to console the bereaved, and what Nicham Avelim is all about. So that you could say is oral law. It's rabbinic law and it's oral law. It's both. And that's why, for example, when we study these sugis of Chanukah, we are makayim the mitzvah of v'shinantam levanech of Talmud Torah, even on a d'oraisa level. it's all rabbinic. The whole institution of Hanukkah is all rabbinic. The answer is the rabbinic law is also the oral law. And that's also part of Torah. So when the Rabbanan institute Hanukkah, all the study of Hanukkah with all its minute details and dinim, that's a Chesed Shel Torah, no less than studying the parsha of Shabbos and the Melachos of Shabbos, or the parsha of Karbanos, which is very detailed, you know, all of Sefer Vayikra. So all this is clear to Rav. And as I said before, whenever you see Pshita, you know that what's coming around the bend is going to be a suffix. In the language of Shas, that's called the Ibayelahu. Ibayelahu means a suffix. By Rav, Ner Chanukah, V'kiddush Hayom, Mahu. Okay, now he has money for either the Shemen for Chanukah or to buy Yayin for Kiddush. And in a sense, these are both mitzvahs derabbanon. Again, according to the Rashba, if he doesn't have money for pas, so not only is he wineless, but he's also breadless. So in that case, for sure, Kiddush Hayom trumps even Ner Shabbos. But we're talking about a case where he can fulfill the basic mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush, fulfill that requirement over pas. But there's a mitzvah to use Yayin. And that mitzvah is no less of a mitzvah than lighting Ner Chanukah. So which way should we go? You know, if it was up to me, I would say for sure, let's go for Kiddush. Why? Because Kiddush is part of Shabbos. And Shabbos is one of the greatest mitzvahs that we have. And the Gemara says that Shabbos is a bris, it's a relationship between us, Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it keeps us going. So if not to be Mekadosh Al Yayin, that's a terrible thing. But Rava doesn't happens to disagree with me. That's his right. I mean, again, I write him a letter. Okay. But he says, Kiddush Hayom Adif. Why is Kiddush Hayom Adif? Not because of Shabbos, or the significance of Shabbos, but because of Tadir. Every week, we have the mitzvah of Kiddush. Then he says, oh, Dilma, wait a minute. You know what? I'll tell you why I think that Ner Shabbos has to count, that Kiddush B'Shabbos has to kowtow, has to be trumped in favor of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is something that puts it on the highest level. And that's called Mishum Persume Nisa. And truth be told, that you might argue that even Kiddush has an element of Persume Nes, because Kiddush also means to declare publicly that God created the world. What could be a greater Nes than the creation of the world? Ex nihilo. But nevertheless, Kiddush is done privately, around my table. It's not something public in nature, whereas Ner Chanukah means to talk about the Nes publicly, to demonstrate and illustrate the Nes by lighting my Ner Chanukah, mi Pesach beso u'mi bachutz. Okay, Rabbi Osei, this is really profound. I mean, which is greater? Tadir, which usually gives a certain chashivus, or Pirsum Hanes? What should he do with his money? You know, I wish all of Shas would be like this Gemara. We have 613 mitzvahs. And we should go through each one of them and figure out where they are located on the totem pole. Meaning, if I have a conflict between tefillin and tzitzis, what should I do? I only have enough money to either buy tefillin or buy tzitzis. You know, you can go on and on endlessly. I would have enjoyed, this would be a new project that maybe we could take on to write a new shas. And all of our shas would be built on the following premise. I only have enough money for one mitzvah. Which mitzvah is greater? And I think you can multiply that, you know, by a couple hundred times. You might fill up a whole library. But we only have it here, and this is going to be the vacillation of Rava. Which comes first? Kiddush Hayom, to buy wine for Kiddush, or to use the money for Pirsum Anes? On the side, Rabosai, you know, there are many people who think that Kiddush does not require Yayin. And they mistakenly think that you can make Kiddush on schnapps. Now that might be true during the day, well even that's problematic, but let's say we can go with the Chassidish Psak, you know, those poskim who say you can make Kiddush on schnapps. But at night, you must make Kiddush on Yayin. So if anyone tells you that they make Kiddush on schnapps on Friday night, send them to me. And I'll ask them to share the schnapps with me. No, I'm just kidding.
After Kiddush.
After Kiddush, right. Kiddush has to be on Yayin. And that's the entire thrust of Rava's suffering over here. What, I only have enough money to buy the yayin for Kiddush, or I could use the money for Ner Chanukah and achieve the great mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. So, Bosa, I would like to suggest the following possibility. And tell me if you like this. Tadir is not a halacha in the mitzvah per se. Tadir means that we have to observe our avodas Hashem, our observance of mitzvahs has to be in a way that reflects tadir, tadirus. It doesn't really reflect on the character or the nature of this particular mitzvah. Any mitzvah could be considered tadir relative to another mitzvah, meaning if I have two mitzvahs on the scale, I'm always going to have to ask myself, which is tadir? So I have to give respect to tadirus. But it doesn't mean that that mitzvah is greater than the other mitzvah. Pirsum HaNes, on the other hand, is unique to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. We're not talking about some sort of a general universal principle and applying it here by coincidence to the case of Ner Chanukah. So if you'd ask me inherently which is greater, Tadir in the case of Kiddush, or Pirsum HaNes in the case of Ner Chanukah, I would vote in favor of Pirsum HaNes, because Pirsum HaNes really changes the entire essence of the mitzvah. And perhaps that's what Rava means in the next line. He says, Basar Dibaya, after he presented the suffix on a very conceptual, theoretical level, Hadar Pashta, he came to a conclusion. And what conclusion did he come to? Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Pirsumei Nista. Yashikayach Rava, but prove it to me. He asks the question, and he posits the question as a kind of a teku, the two equal forces on both sides of the scale. And which mitzvah is weightier, and which mitzvah takes precedence. And in essence, Ner Shabbat, I mean, Kiddush HaYom, is yelling and screaming, I'm Tadir, I'm a big shot, I'm Tadir. No, we want Pirsum HaNes. What is it over here? Very strange. So again, if you're holding like the Rashba, that at least he could make Kiddush on Pas. And he has pas, because again, according to the Rashba, if he doesn't have pas or yayin, then for sure he's dealing with a kiddush d'oraisa, whatever that means, but that's the Rashba's position. And that would override even their Shabbos. Then I understand what the Gemara is saying, that with all the respect to Tadir, but here the Tadir is only for achieving a more enhanced mitzvah. The mitzvah itself he can fulfill, even if he doesn't dedicate any of his money for yayin. And that is because he has money, he has pas, or he has a loaf of bread in his freezer. So he just defrosts it and he makes kiddush. Nor of us, he wants to enhance it by making kiddush al yayin, because as we saw in the Gemara Pesachim, that's what we should do. If all things are equal, we don't make kiddush al pas, we make kiddush al yayin. There has to be some sort of urgent, pressing reason to override yayin in favor of pas. So he has pas. He's covered himself on a deraisa level. Now he wants to enhance the mitzvah by yayin. Well, you don't want to completely lose and forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah for the sake of enhancing the mitzvah of Kiddush. So again, we have here a very interesting rule of thumb, according to the Rashba at least, that whenever you have a conflict between two mitzvahs and he can't fulfill both of them, then in fact the Tadir should come first, unless he has some sort of fallback position, meaning some sort of at least nitty-gritty b'di'evet, but some sort of key of that mitzvah that's tadir. If he can achieve the mitzvah that's tadir, albeit on a low level, but he still is mekayim the mitzvah, then for sure that mitzvah has to give way in favor of another mitzvah. But with all the respect to the Rashba, the impression you get here from this Gemara is that what Rav is trying to impress upon us is the significance of Pirsumei Nisa. And Rav is saying, where do we put Pirsumei Nisa on the scale? It's not high enough or heavy enough to override Ner Beiso, because that's Shalom Bayis, but it is enough to override Kiddush HaYom. So Pirsumei Nisa will trump Kiddush HaYom. And you begin to wonder if Pirsumei Nisa is strong enough to override. Now what makes Pirsumei Nisa so important? Rav doesn't give us a clue. I would say that Pirsumei Nisa is Kiddush Hashem. Was anybody here when we discussed this? Anybody remember this? Does it ring a bell?
Yeah, there.
This is Rabbeinu Daniel HaBavli, one of the early Rishonim, says that there's Kiddush Hashem by publicizing a miracle. And perhaps in that light, I mean, On the contrary, I don't even understand the Havamin of Rav, but it's certainly the Maskan of Rav makes a lot of sense. That Kiddush Hayom is not a mitzvah of Kiddushas Hashem, whereas Ner Chanukah, insofar as you're publicizing the miracle, is Kiddushas Hashem. And Kiddushas Hashem is one of the greatest mitzvahs that we have. Haraya, we have to give up our life for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. That's how important Kiddush Hashem is. And you may remember that I once discussed the Tarmidoi. Who remembers the Tarmidoi? Ah, excellent. The Tarmidoi Rashi says Shem Uma. And it could be that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem applies even in front of the Goyim. That's wild. That's based on a Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
You could also put it as the Kiddush is a mitzvah of the Yachid, and this might be a mitzvah of the Rabbim. And the mitzvah of Yachid, we learned this morning, a mitzvah of Yachid, a mitzvah of Rabbim, the Yachid is not going to be Docha the Rabbim.
Let the Oilim fill in, that the Gemara says about Megillah, that Megillah, since it's read publicly, is a mitzvah of the Rabbim. And in fact, the Gemara says that all of Purim is a mitzvah derabim, which is interesting. For example, when I eat my Sudas Purim, which is a kiyum of mitzvah simcha mishta, I do it in the privacy of my house. And yet the Gemara, or at least the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, elevates that mitzvah to the status of a mitzvah derabim, to such extent that an onen, who normally is not allowed to eat meat or drink wine, is allowed to eat meat and drink wine on Purim. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because Purim is a mitzvah derabim. So Asher is saying, if you see the significance of a mitzvah derabim, maybe we could attach that status to the Ner Chanukah, insofar as Rava says it's Pirsumei Nisa, maybe it's a mitzvah derabim. But again, the structure of the Gemara is very I feel very uncomfortable with the structure, the style of the Gemara. That Rava has a suffix for Hadar Pashte. I promise you that in every case in Shas where you see Hadar Pashte, the Gemara is going to challenge him to bring some sort of a proof. Explain your ultimate position. Rabban, his original position, stead up Tadiris on the one hand in favor of Kiddush, and Pursumei Nisa on the other hand in favor of Ner Chanukah, and it was a balance, and Rabban didn't know. It wasn't Pasha to him. That's called Boy Rabban. Boy Rabban means he had a suffix about it. And then he says Hadar Pashte. What's that for Hadar Pashte? You woke up on that side of the bed? Like, well, what's the Hadar Pashte? Very strange Gemara. So again, the only thing we have to do is try to understand the final maskana of Rava. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, it leaves us with a sense of emptiness that Rava himself didn't tell us why he came to that. Maybe Rava wanted to give us room, you know, to say Shir.
But there is a conclusion here.
There's a conclusion, but not on what basis is that conclusion? He says, Pursume Nisa. He knew about Pursume Nisa in the previous line, Phil. He didn't wake up all of a sudden and discover Pursume Nisa. On the contrary, he originally postulated that Tadir is just as great as Pursume Nisa. So Hadar Pashte. Usually Hadar Pashte, I can promise you, go through all of Shaftu word search on Hadar Pashte, and you'll see Hadar Pashte because of a Brisa, or he found a Mishnah, or he came up with a new Svara that we didn't know about. There's no new Svaras over here. There's no new sources. He doesn't quote any source for this. Any support? Is there anything there in your footnote, Phil?
No.
You know, the footnotes should say something about this. Okay.
It just reiterates what the Gemara says.
Yeah, okay. So, Abbas, I'll just quiz you on this Gemara. Please don't look inside and just give me the answers to my question. Okay, which comes first, Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos? Ner Shabbos. Which comes first, Kiddush or Ner Shabbos?
Ner Shabbos.
Ner Shabbos. Which comes first, Kiddush or Ner Chanukah?
Ner Chanukah.
Ner Chanukah. Good. Very good. Amar Rav Huna. Now this is an agadic statement, and let's be very careful about the language of Rav Huna in this agadic statement. Haragil b'ner. Okay, so underline that word haragil. Haragil b'ner. Havyon le bonim talmidei chachamim. In a sense, the reward that God promises for being Rogil B'ner, Rashi says we're referring to both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, and that also is accepted by the Rosh and others. Rabbi Chananel seems to assume that we're talking about Ner Chanukah here, because this Haggadah Torah was deliberately placed here in the context of Ner Chanukah. However, many agree with Rashi, the Rav Yoh, for example, that Rava's intention is for all Ner Shel Mitzvah. And the Rav Yoh goes very far. And he says, you know what, this is not just Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, which is the way Rashi understood it, but it's referring to all Ner Shel Mitzvah. What is a Ner Shel Mitzvah beyond Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah? So it's unbelievable. The Rav Yoh says that this refers to Neros Shebebeis HaKnesses. Wow. You know, I know that it's very nice that people light candles in the Beis HaKnesses, but I never knew that that was a special, separate mitzvah.
Well, maybe it's more that in Neros Beis HaKnesses, that that time was giving, that supporting the show.
Right, but is it? You know, I wouldn't have said it's a mitzvah of ner. You know, the shul needs a lot of different things. You know, they may need fire for the, you know, they may need logs for the fire, for the campfire, because it's cold. But he says no, it's a rugel b'ner. And what's ner? Ner is a ner shel beis haknesses. He adds something else here, the Rav Yoh. And he says that in a house of study where they don't daven, there too there's a special zehirus and a special reward for those who supply the Beis Medrash, the house of study, with neros. So again, Rabbi, so we have four possibilities here. One possibility is to say that Rav Huna is referring to Ner Shabbos. The other is to say he's referring to Ner Chanukah. Many Rishonim say he's referring to Ner Chanukah. Others say that he's referring to both Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. That's Rashi's opinion. And finally, we have the Rav Yoh, that he's referring not only to Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, but also to Ner Shebebeis HaKnesses v'Ner Shebebeis HaMedrash. Now, what does the word Zahir mean? Rav Huna says, I skipped a line. Rava says, Haragil b'ner. Do you see that? Now, what does Ragil mean? So the Rishonim at this point, again, we'll soon see the Marsha has a different approach. They think that Haragil is the same as Zahir, that he's very careful about it. And in fact, the Meiri says that what does it mean he's very careful about it? Shemadlik b'shah ha-re'uya means he doesn't just light the ner, but he makes sure to guarantee that there's enough oil in the ner that it will last for the amount of time that it has to last. So, you know, if you want to talk about Ner Shabbos, for example, he's going to eat his su'uda an hour after Shabbos starts, so then he should make sure that the ner will last until the su'uda. In Ner Chanukah, we said it's a half hour. In Ner Shabbos Beis HaKnesses, it means until the last person is out of the Beis HaKnesses. And now the Meiri adds something else. He says that you know what it means that he's Ragil B'ner? He's Madlik B'derech Chibuv Mitzvah. In other words, the attitude or the state of mind when he lights the candle is what's critical here. We're not talking necessarily, says the Meiri, about the fact that he supplies the oil that's necessary, etc., etc., and he lights the candle. No, it's the way he lights the candle, the attitude in which he lights the candle. He lights it with a certain chavivus. Now, every mitzvah really requires chavivus, but some mitzvahs, you'll get a special reward if you implement the mitzvah with a sense of love and how cherishing you cherish this mitzvah. And in the case of a ner, there's a special chavivus for a ner mitzvah. So that when he comes to light and he lights with this chavivus, that upgrades his hadlaka to a level of which he's worthy of a great reward.
Does rogel impact on tediris?
Not that I know of. So what's going to be the reward for someone who's careful about a ner mitzvah, whether it's a ner Chanukah, ner Shabbos, etc. Havinilei banim talmidei chacham. His children will be talmidei chacham. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says dechsiv. This is about halfway through the daf. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. And Rashi is apparently dashing it that al yidei ner mitzvah the Shabbos or the Chanukah. Ba or the Torah. Notice the Ner Mitzvah brings the or of Torah. Now this is very fascinating because according to Rashi, if I understand Rashi correctly, this great reward that's being bestowed upon this person is because of or HaTorah. And I read the Gemara, I didn't see that. All I saw in the Gemara is that he's Rogel B'ner. Rashi introduces here another element into the equation, and that's called or HaTorah. Now, perhaps what compelled Rashi to introduce the Or HaTorah is the fact that the pasuk in Mishle, Rashi understood, was being the source for this significance and emphasis on Ner Mitzvah, and that pasuk ends with the words Torah Or. But I think the real reason Rashi is compelled is because it says Havim Lan Banim Tavi Chachamim. Why is the reward for being careful and being meticulous and dedicated to Ner Mitzvah, the children would be Talmidei Chachamim? Apparently there's an element of Torah here. So Rashi kills sort of two birds with one stone. By invoking the pasuk in Mishle, he tells you that Ner Mitzvah is connected to Torah Or. And now we understand why Ner Mitzvah is put on at such a high pedestal. And secondly, he answers the question, why is it that every reward has to fit the mitzvah, it's got to be a mitzvah connected mitzvah. Why Talmidei Chachamim? The answer is because the R of the mitzvah, or the ner of the mitzvah in this case, is going to bring about Torah R. Rashi's language is Al Yidei Ner Mitzvah, Ba Torah R, Ba R the Torah. Now, usually a mitzvah doesn't bring R. The word R is dedicated exclusively for Torah. Torah is called R. Torah is the light. But here's where the pasuk in Mishle reveals that we can upgrade a mitzvah to the state of to the status of Torah, and it's going to generate R. And this R has such a powerful impact that it's going to bear fruit in the next generation, and the generation after will be Talmidei Chachamim. What about he himself? Is this a way that he can guarantee that he'll become a Talmud Chacham? So the Anaf Yosef, who's one of the super commentaries on the Medrash, says the following: V'kolshken shehu atzmo yizkel lios talmid chacham v'schar mitzvah zu. Ella, why does Rav Huna emphasize that his children will be talmid chacham? What about he himself? Why doesn't he deserve a reward? The answer is midubar. We're talking about shukvar talmid chacham. Maybe be a greater talmid chacham. I would have said, O Dilma, she'eno roy lekach. Interesting. If the children are neutral, meaning they have their personality, what the British philosophers used to call tabula rosa, the child has no personality at this point, he's no identity. So then, in the absence of anything negative, this gula, this ner mitzvah gula to create Torah or will guarantee that the child will grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. But in the case of the father, He's got negative, he has certain anti-personality that doesn't allow him to become a Talmud Chacham. But if on the other hand, let's say he's early in the game, he's a young man, there's nothing about his personality that's negative and would repel his becoming a Talmud Chacham. So if he would come to me and ask me, well, Rabbi, give me a brach that I should become a Talmud Chacham. I'm at the beginning of my learning. So I would say to him, don't come to me for a bracha. You want me to make a bracha, give me an apple, and I'll make a bracha on an apple. That's a hint if anyone happens to have an apple. But no, that's not what's going on over here. If somebody comes to me for a bracha, that he should be a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to tell him to be Zohir. He should be very careful about a Ner Mitzvah. And if he takes upon himself to be a Ner Mitzvah, Rav Huna guarantees him that he'll be a Talmud Chacham. Even though it doesn't say anywhere that he'll be a Talmud Chacham, but the Anaf Yosef derives it with the Kal Vachomer. If his children will be rewarded, then certainly he'll be rewarded with only one proviso, that he could theoretically become a Talmud Chacham. Don, you want to say something? And now he quotes the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. This is a very rare occasion where the Magen Avraham, as opposed to, quotes Rabbeinu Bachai in his commentary on the Torah. I mean, you learn from this that the Magen Avraham was a baki in Rabbeinu Bachai al Torah. And he writes the following. Kevon shebizchus zehirus b'ner Shabbos zoche lebonim talmidei chachomim Roy, I get very emotional about this. Roy shetispale la isha b'shas hadlokas neiros sheyiten la kodesh baruch hu banim zecharim meirim b'torah. Now I say the following: if Nebuch, you have a childless couple and they're looking for some way, some school of having children, then here's the answer. Because if there's zoyer b'ner mitzvah, then not only will they have children, they'll have children that are talmidei chachamim. So this is like a double school. Or for example, you have a couple that only has girls, and they desperately want to have a boy. So the Gemara of Rav Huna says, banav talmidei chachamim, they'll have male children who are talmidei chachamim. So if you want to have a boy, then first, you know, first be zoyer in their mitzvah, and again, we had many different interpretations, but that's going to bring Torah Or. The Ner Mitzvah brings the Torah Or. So, you know, we've been discussing for a few weeks now about the concept of creating a Ner Mitzvah. And we never stop to think, well, what's the significance of creating a Ner Mitzvah? You know, we have also halachas that are regulations and prerequisites of creating a Ner Mitzvah, but why all this hype about creating a Ner Mitzvah? The answer is right here. Because Ner Mitzvah Torah are. Because Ner Mitzvah really contains within it the power of Torah. And it's really interesting that here we're upgrading the mitzvah to a level of Ner. Ner means are. Usually, as I said to you before, a mitzvah has an accomplishment in its moment, but it doesn't have this ongoing power of an are. But in the case of a Ner Mitzvah, we have this very exceptional rule. Now notice that Rav Huna says haragil b'ner. Look at the next line in Rav Huna. Hazoyer b'mezuzah. Hazoyer b'tzitzis. Hazoyer b'kiddush hayom. There's a very blatant contrast here between ner mitzvah on the one end and all the other mitzvahs on the other end that are listed here, enumerated by Rav Huna. In all the other cases, whether it be mezuzah, whether it be tzitzis, whether it be talis, whether it be kiddush, he always uses the word zahir. But for some reason, unbeknown to us, when it comes to ner mitzvah, he says haragil b'ner. So the Marsha says the following, that Rav Huna is addressing the men, he's not addressing the women. And in the case of mezuzah, in the case of tzitzis, for sure, and even in the case of kiddush hayom, there's a special chiyuv on the man. But not so in the case of ner. In the case of ner, at least ner Shabbos for one, there's a special mitzvah incumbent upon whom? Upon the woman. So how can Rav Huna address the men and tell them that they should be zayir, they should be very careful about the mitzvah of lokas ner Shabbos? They're not going to light the ner Shabbos. The wives are going to light the ner Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Huna says the Marsha went out of his way to use a different term. Instead of using the word zayir, he used the word ragil. And what he means by ragil is that he should do everything that he can to make sure that his wife will light the ner Shabbos in the proper time, in the proper way, with the proper utensils and materials, and so forth and so on. So ragil as opposed to zoy. Zoy means when you're going ahead to do the mitzvah. Ragil means when you're overseeing and supervising someone else to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's why in the case of their Shabbos, Rav Huna went out of his way to use the word ragil. And even if we accept Rashi, that ragil b'ner means not just ner Shabbos, but also means ner Chanukah, but it certainly means ner Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Huna changes his language, and instead of using the word zahir, he uses the word ragil. All this is the Marsha. However, the Rishonim that came way before the Marsha had a different take on this. Why does Rav Huna use the word ragil and not zahir? And he says the following, that mitzvos elu einom ela derabbanan, masha enkin ha-mitzvos lahalon ha-hem mitzvah shel Torah. That in the case of Ner, whether it be Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, we're talking about a mitzvah drabbanan. In the cases of mezuzah, tzitzis, and kiddush, we're talking about mitzvahs da'oraisa. What? I don't understand why that's significant. It's a very nice, sharp, you know, categorization and distinction between the first case of Ner and the last three cases. One is the Rabbanan, and the others are the Raisa, but I don't begin to understand how that justifies the distinction between Ragil and Zahir. Unless maybe what the Rishonim have in mind here is that Zahiris goes beyond Regilus. Regilus means it becomes part of my repertoire, part of my, you know, my scheduling. I know it's time for Ner Chanukah, yeah. You know, my clock goes off and then it gives me a little beep, and Ner Shabbos, etc. But it's not Zahiris. Zahiris is on a higher level. Zahiris means not to let it go by. Never chas v'shalom to miss the opportunity. Again, in the case of mezuzah, that's crystal clear. We don't live in a house without a mezuzah. In the case of tzitzis, it's not so clear. Because is it fair to say that we don't wear any begadim without tzitzis? Well, that depends on what?
Whether it's
right. Whether it's dalet knafos or not. If I don't wear a beggar with dalet knafos, I'm not chayiv in tzitzis. Maybe that's good for the kiddush of Avuna. The Avuna is going to say, don't be laid back about it and say, well, I don't have a beggar that's got dalet knafos. It's not four corners. No. Be zayir in tzitzis. Make sure. And maybe tzitzis is very complicated. There are many different ways that you can tie the tzitzis and put on the tzitzis, and the chutim themselves have to be tzvi lishma. And there are a host of different details that apply to tzitzis. You know, you can go through Hilchos Tzitzis in the Mishnah Berurah, and you can spend enormous amount of time on the details of tzitzis. So be zayir b'tzitzis. Guarantee that you fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. I never understood, Rav Osai. And please set me straight. I've seen this dozens of times, that people during Kriyat Shema take their four corners together, and they kiss them when they get to the word tzitzis. Have you ever seen such a thing? I can't understand it. The Vilna Gaon says that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, you need shnayim b'fanel and shnayim l'achrel. You have to two in the front and two in the back. So you want to show your chavivus in the mitzvah of tzitzis, and you're undermining the mitzvah of tzitzis by bringing all four tzitzis in the front. I can't understand. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I never understood kissing tzitzis. I'll tell you why. If you want to kiss the mezuzah, assuming that the cloth is covered, then there's no great loss to the cloth. But in the case of tzitzis, the moisture might have an impact on the tzitzis. So for that, we buy wallis tzitzis. Have you ever heard of wallis tzitzis? You know, the very hard, resilient tzitzis. You know, you spend about three times the amount of money. So that's your zahirus in the midst of tzitzis. And then finally, in the last case, it's kiddush hayom. Now, wait a second. According to the Rashba, kiddush hayom is d'oraisa, even on pas. Whatever that means. Again, it's very complicated. Pas, yayin, one of the two. If not for the Rashba, the Rambam for sure would reject the Rashba. Kiddush is only d'rabbanan on a kos yayin. The Rambam, it would seem, would have to learn that the kiddush here is the kiddush d'oraisa, which means the kiddush in tefillah, or perhaps the recitation of kiddush, if you didn't daven ma'ariv, at the table. But whenever you recite kiddush, it's zocher yom shabbos lekadsho. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You have to be very careful about that. A lot of people say kiddush, they don't even understand a word of what they're saying. And it's very interesting, and with this we'll have to wrap it up. What is the mida keneged mida for these three mitzvahs? Number one, in the case of mezuzah, which is called a chovas hadar, meaning you're living in the house, you need a mezuzah. I don't care if you own the house, or you're renting the house, or you're even a free renter in the house, you're not paying rent. In all these cases, you're a chayav in mezuzah. It's a chovas hadar. So for sure, the mida keneged mida is going to be that you're bestowed, what's bestowed upon you is a good dira, a nice dira. So those people who check their mezuzahs, you know, in Lubavitch especially, they tell you if something's not going right, you check your mezuzahs. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
So I would tell you, you know who should be checking their mezuzahs? If you have a daughter to marry off, check your mezuzahs, because you want to be zocher to a dira. In fact, when our granddaughter was born, people said to us, "Tizku legadla l'tora l'dira ulamaisim tov." Because in the Haredi world today, if you don't have a dira, you can't marry off your daughter. In the Tzioni world, it's a lot better. It's like 50-50. You know, both he and she, the parents of both he and she will chip in equally. But, you know, if you have a son, you could always drive a very hard bargain. Even in the Tzioni world, if they want your son badly. But this is the dira. So anyway, to be serious, all that was just facetious comments, but to be absolutely serious, what you need is a dira na. Everyone needs a dira na. The Gemara says that there are dvarim shev marchiven es daito shaladam. You need a dira na. I married an interior designer. And I never really chapped it. Like who cares? I mean, the Chafetz Chaim lived on a wooden bench, you know. And they asked him, why not buy a little furniture? He says, well, if you were a traveler going through a town, would you buy furniture? I'm just traveling through this world. Baruch Hashem, he lived to the, I think he lived to the ripe old age of 97 or something like that. He actually had a child when he was in his 70s from a second marriage, the Chafetz Chaim. But anyway, you know, everybody wants a dira na. So if the Chafetz Chaim is asking me, why do I have to invest in furniture? I'm going to quote him this Gemara Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that you want to have a dira na. So with all due respect to the Chafetz Chaim, it says here dira na. Hazar b'tzitzis zochel talis na. Everyone wants a talis na. Those people who walk around like schlubs and then who couldn't care two hoots about the way they look. I'm going to quote them the Gemara Rav Huna. That Adarava, the Mida Kereged Mida for being Zoyer Betzitzis is a Yet a Talis Na. And the word Talis, it means a beggar. It doesn't mean just a Talis.
Does Zahir also mean don't drag them on the floor as well?
This I don't know.
Think about it.
That you have to really check out. Hazoyer Bekiddush Hayom Zoche Umemale Garbave. Wow, he's going to get a lot of wine. So people who like wine, they should certainly be very careful about Kiddush Hayom. Okay, Rav Osir, we'll stop here. And Bolin Eder on Sunday, we'll try to finish this all up. If people could be kind enough to give me their email address, because next week I have to take off one day, I think. I may have to miss one day. So I want to just be able to, you know, to notify you.
Sunday's a good day.
Sunday's a good day, right? Because Don can't come on Sunday.
Don't do it Monday.
And my second announcement is, please, if you can, if you don't have one, get a hold of a Gemara Pesach. Because we're going to be shifting in about a week's time over to Pesach. My last announcement is, if anyone's interested, a few mornings a week, let's say at about 10:30-ish or so, learning Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Chanukah, because now that we've gone through the sugya, so we're going to skip to Pesachim now, I think we'll be, you know, there'll be a gaping hole here that we didn't go through the halachas. So we can, you know, if there's interest, I'm not pushing it, we can go through Hilchos Chanukah. I would have the Mishnah Berurah on one hand and the Aruch HaShulchan on the other hand. I'm a big fan of the Aruch HaShulchan, so we'll try to compare notes. So if anyone's free, it would be
9:30 or 10:30?
It would be about 10:30, I'd say. Something like 10:30, maybe a little bit later. And we learn for a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever you like. So let me know. And I'm going to just ask you to give me your email address, or at least your name, if I already have your email address, just that I would be able to, you know, notify you in advance, you know, Mirtz Hashem, if I can't be here for
you. If there's a choice, Sunday would also be a good day for me. No, just...
Just do me a favor, write down your name, so that I'll notify you, because even if you can't come on Sundays, it doesn't matter. I need to have that list so I know, because it once happened that I had to cancel a shiur and I didn't have the list, and two or three people, you know, had titus against me. You didn't notify me that there wouldn't be a shiur.